Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. He should properly place the fire element in his own self, and in this way give up bodily affinity, by which one thinks the body to be one's own self, to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Please repeat after me. He should properly place the fire element in his own self, and in this way give up bodily affinity, by which one thinks the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The body is an effect of a cause, namely the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. In other words, one should know perfectly well that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five elements. This knowledge constitutes merging of the material body and the five material elements. Merging into Brahman in perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body, but a spiritual soul. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll start from the beginning, because I'd like to try to make some comments on the previous verses as well. I ask for your blessings to be able to speak something useful in your service and the service of Guru and Krishna. So the first verse we looked at is text 17. Of course, as you realized, it's all about Vanaprastha. So Bhakti Ravindra thought that I'd be an appropriate person to speak on this subject. So the first verse is, O King, I shall now describe the qualifications for a Vanaprastha, one who has retired from family life. By rigidly following the rules and regulations of the Vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Mahaloka. So, as far as I understand it, vanaprastha means somebody who's been in family life. So, somebody who's not a sannyasi, but not in family life, has left family life, is in the order of vanaprast. Vana, of course, meaning forest, and prasta. I looked up the word-for-word synonyms in all the verses. There's only one reference, actually, in the Vedabase for prasta, what prasta means. It's from Padyavali, which is by Sri Rupa Goswami, and it's actually referring to, in that verse in Padyavali, it says Govardhan Prastha, and it's referring to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna who's staying in Govardhan, so it means staying. So Vanaprastha means one who stays in the forest. So, of course, we don't send people out into the forest these days. So, I think, so in that case, it means that all these verses we have to take according to time, place, and circumstance. But still, the principles still apply. One thought that occurs to me is that really a vanaprastha is somebody who's been a grihastha, in other words, not a grihamedi. So in that respect, I don't have the qualification. Because I was never a grihastha, I was definitely a grihamedi. But still, hopefully, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we can come to the vanaprastha level at least. So in this first verse, it says, by rigidly following rules and regulations for the vanaprastha. So everybody is supposed to rigidly follow rules and regulations, just they may be somewhat different. But this is the main principle, that we have the rules and regulations given by Lord Krishna, and it's considered if we don't follow Lord Krishna's instructions, then actually we're wasting our time in this world. But it says here, by rigidly following the rules and regulations of vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Mahaloka. So I just thought I would, because obviously that's not really our goal, to go to Mahaloka. But anyway, it just shows the power of following the rules and regulations. But in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 18, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, mentions about Mahaloka and some other places. He says, Gati means the destination where we want to go. So, do we actually want to go to Mahaloka? Well, we may do, if we find out a little bit about it, which I've got one or two details here about Mahaloka. But the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. Hallucinatory means it's like a dream. It's not real. It's so it's not really something worth pursuing. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict respective methods, they reach different planets known as Chandraloka, Suryaloka, Indraloka, Mahaloka, etc. But all such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Such planets, being manifestations of Krishna's energy, are also Krishna. But actually, they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. So, if going to Mahaloka helps us to realize Krishna, then it's not a bad thing. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. Uh-huh. So, maybe it's not such a good thing. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. And Prabhupada gives the well-known example. If there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by the staircase, step by step? Because, of course, he explains that going step by step is there's more chance of having some mishap. Actually, you can get stuck in a lift as well, but of course, if you if you're in the going step by step, it takes you longer. You get more tired out. You could fall down. Somebody could be rushing down the stairs and knock you over. There's so many obstacles. But the main point is not about elevators or stairs. The main point is we go directly to Krishna, and we don't take the risk of running out of puff or losing our way. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, is also mentioned about Mahaloka, an interesting fact. It says in verse 25, the yogi alone goes beyond this circle of Shishumara and attains the planet Mahaloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 4,300,000,000 solar years. That's our years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. So it's not just like going to the heavenly planets. So it's quite a special place, Mahaloka. But at the same time, we're not really aiming for Mahaloka. But in this verse, it's saying that actually can easily be obtained if we rigidly follow the rules and regulations for the Vanaprastha. Okay, so the next verse, 18. Oh, come too far. So the next verse says, a person in Vanaprastha life should not eat grains grown by tilling of the fields. He should also not eat grains that have grown without tilling of the field, but are not fully ripe. Nor should a Vanaprastha eat grains cooked in fire. Indeed, he should eat only fruit ripened by the sunshine. So the austerity is beginning to kick in, what the Vanaprastha is supposed to do. So it seems that grains have to be minimized, because you can only eat grains which have been untilled, not tilled, and they have to be ripe. In fact, it says, indeed, he should only eat only fruit ripened by the sunshine. So that's a pretty strict regulation there. I know that Dhanavir Goswami Maharaj for many years has not, and he started when he was a Vanaprastha, he's not eaten grain for many, many years. He's been a sannyasi for many years, so I don't know if this was his original reason for not eating grains, but the next verse goes on. A Vanaprastha should prepare cakes to be offered in sacrifice from fruits and grains grown naturally in the forest. When he obtains some new grains, he should give up his old stock of grains. So this verse is saying that he should prepare cakes to be offered in sacrifice. Not necessarily that he should eat them. He should offer them in sacrifice. Because I was thinking that in the previous verse, it's like, you know, actually don't eat grains. But actually, on second thoughts, it's actually you mustn't eat. You have to eat ripe grains which have not been tilled. The next verse, 20. A Vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in a mountain only to keep the sacred fire. but he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun. So we've got some opportunity here to endure snowfall. So we should take advantage of the snow while we have the opportunity, at least those who are aspiring to be vanaprastas. So not many people aspiring to be. But the main point here for me that came out to me was that whatever facilities we are given are meant for the service of the Lord only. So it says, a vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in a mountain only to keep the sacred fire. So in other words, whatever facility we have, it's meant just for service of Krishna. Nothing else. Not for one's own enjoyment. So that's the main point, that in vanaprastha any devotee, we really are, the point is that we should always be thinking, whatever facilities we have, they're meant for the service of the Lord. Because the fire, obviously the fire is used for sacrifice, for yajna, and that fire is considered to be Krishna. So that's the purpose of Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. So he shouldn't make any elaborate arrangements by, you know, making a nice house. When in the stage of vanaprastha, we should be thinking of giving up all these comforts and things. At least whatever we do have, they should just be used. They should be conducive, favorable to our advancement in Krishna consciousness, not just so that we keep comfortable. And the verse says, he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun. So does that mean that we should go out in the gardens and start, well, we could have snowball fights, just to practice this endurance, or rolling in the snow? But I'm not taking it like that. So it's all right, we don't have to go out and have a snowball fight. But the main point is that that we should welcome difficulties as opportunities to develop tolerance and detachment from the enjoying mentality. So whatever difficulties there are, and here it's listing the difficulties of the weather, the dualities of the weather, heat and cold, etc. But not just those things. Any difficulty, any obstacle that we encounter actually is an opportunity to develop detachment, to not be disturbed by such things. And of course we get plenty of practice in that, because there are so many disturbances in confirmed. So many disturbances in this material world. We don't have to go seeking them. Although, I would say that actually modern life is very much in a cocoon. If you have a car, you just go from the front door or the back door to the car, jump in the car, and then you're in a cocoon again. In the West anyway, you're cocooned in a nice centrally heated, warm, mostly, atmosphere. And then you just, as quickly as you can, you get into your car and you drive off. And then you're in a cocoon. And actually you lose touch with the elements. And I've discovered, of course, if you go on book distribution, Hari Nam and things like that, then you get in touch again. But if you work in an office like I tend to, then you tend to lose touch. And I've had a recent experience of, because my car broke down, of cycling. So I was cycling from here to Radlett, to the national office. And at first it was actually quite difficult, especially the steep hills. It's quite a steep hill going up to Radlett from Lechmore Heath. But it's very bracing and stimulating, invigorating. And I found it became very enjoyable. And also it's good for the health. Just like Shama Sundar Prabhu, he was told me a few weeks ago that when you're always out in the cold, you get used to it. You don't feel it so much. Isn't that true? Yeah. So by being out, so that's what I found. That so when we're just encased in cotton wool and in a nice warm atmosphere, we become soft. Literally, we become like that atmosphere. We become like cotton wool. So we need some adversity, we need some austerity to actually help us to become detached. Otherwise we become so comfortable and we settle into a routine, and that is dangerous in spiritual life, because we think everything's fine and we become very attached to that. We don't want to give it up. So that's the principle from this verse. Next verse is verse 21. Now this is an interesting verse. It says the vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair on his head. Let his body hair, nails and moustache grow. So he should not cleanse his body of dirt. He should keep a water pot, deerskin and rod, wear the bark of a tree as a covering, and use garments coloured like fire. So, well, to take the last point first, garments coloured like fire, to me that means that a vanaprastha can wear saffron, is bona fide. Because, of course, there's different stages of vanaprastha. One stage of vanaprastha is when a husband and wife travel together to the holy places. They're not engaged in... in developing their family life, they're giving that up, leaving home and traveling like that. So that's one level of, I don't know the terms for, I did try to consult with Sri Radha Raman Prabhu, because he seems to know a lot about all these things, but I wasn't successful, unfortunately, in getting more information about, from a Varnashram point of view. But the rest of the text seems to be more speaking like an avaduta. So it seems like at some point a vanaprastha behaves a little bit like an avaduta. He doesn't cleanse, he doesn't wash, he wears matted hair, all that. He grows his moustache and beard and things like that. So I don't know of any statements by Srila Prabhupada about living like this with matted hair, etc. So we must place it into time, place and circumstance. So this is not the time or the place or the circumstances in which to do this. Because these statements have been superseded, in one sense, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who told us to chant Hare Krishna and tell others to do so as well. Now, if we were walking around, going on book distribution, of course, Brahmachari is mostly doing that, but if we were vanaprasas and we were going around like this, then people would be put off somewhat, I think. So I could take the opportunity to read some instructions by... Well, first one is by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, from the Antyalila, chapter 6, verse 220. And he says, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this verse, that renunciation is a basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. So it's not just for vanaprasas or sannyasis, or even brahmacharis, to engage in renunciation. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying renunciation is a basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, and it pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, very much. So, and then Mahaprabhu himself speaks to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he says, a vairagi, a person in the renounced order, should not depend on others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful and be neglected by Krishna. He goes on, the duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra always. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits and roots are available. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. So everybody actually has to be practicing these instructions. Of course, it is to Raghunath Das Goswami, but still, the principles still apply to some degree. He continues, do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami didn't eat very palatable food. It was just remnants he was finding wherever he could. Not that he was running after it, but... And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on, do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your minds, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is the most important principle. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And then I'll finish off. I have a lot more material actually, but I've misjudged the time available. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravatan. This is Vallabha Bhatta to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, the fundamental religious system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. So, actually, there's two principles there. First, that the fundamental religious system in this age is chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And then secondly, propagation of the fundamental religious principle, religious system, which is the chanting. So those two things go hand in hand. So whether we are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, actually that is the fundamental religious system, chanting of Hare Krishna and telling others about Krishna and to chant Krishna's holy names and to glorify Krishna. So I'll finish there.